Shav the Perik Beis Pasik Beis Pasik Tez Zayin. Ki ein zichron lechacham im makasil yalom. There's no remembrance. In the next world, we'll see in the Mitzvot and Rashi, in the next world, there's no way, there is no comparison between the chacham and the kasil. Le oilam. Oilam here, we'll see in a few moments, means in the next world. Bisha kevar hayamim habam, that when the days. The days b'shekevar kvar. These two words are a contradiction. B'shekevar means the past, and habo means the future. So basically, it means that when the future comes, and then when you look back at the past, that's a similar rotation. When the primary words are the hayomim haboim, when the days, the future days arrive, and then when we will reflect about the past, we will realize hakol nishkach. Everything is forgotten. Everything is forgotten, meaning what's forgotten is the success. So we're going to see there's a lot of extra words you have to add into this pasuk. The success of the wicked is forgotten. The eich yamus hechacham and hakasil. How could it then be that the chacham and the kasil, they die the sick? Let's just say there's a lot going on here, obviously. Mr. Merlis, welcome back. Haven't seen you in a long time. Okay, let's take a look over here. Pasuk design in the Mitzudos David goes slow. Pasuk Tezayin, it says, Ki ein zichron afilu achar hamisa, mato elas. Even after death, what purpose, what benefit is there? Going back, this goes back to Pasuk Tezvav. Pasuk Tezvav spoke about the mikre. Shemikre echod yikre es kulon. I'm sorry, what am I reading over here? I'm sorry, what were you referring to? Pasuk Tezayin? Ba to Elas. After death will arrive a purpose. Ki ad olam yizku shnehem forever. Lo yizku shloshnehem yachad bedin yachad. They will not be remembered forever. In other words, when they will die, that's when the difference, according to the Mitzudos David, when they will die, that's when the difference between the kasil and the chacham will become apparent. So one more time. Ein zichron afilu achar hamisa. I'm not really sure. Bo to elas ki ad olam lo yizku shnehem, forever they will not be remembered for shnehem yachad bedim yinachad sheze zichron l'shavach v'zel l'gnat. Let's just read a few more words. B'shekvar hayamim haboim techosar milas cholfoy. The word cholfoy is missing. We're missing here a word. Passing. Ume'elav yuvan hachisaron, and from the context, it's obvious that you have to add another word into the pasuk. So then it means of the hashin shel b'shebekvar, and the letter shin of the word shekvar, hu b'mokoyim asher. Be'asher kvar, be'roit zolaymar. Now he puts the whole thing together. Be'asher. That, af ki kvar cholfu hayamim haboim, it is so that after the days have passed, so we added in the word cholfu hayomim haboim, acharei mos hechacham v'hakasil, after the death of the chacham and the kasil, v'chi akol nishkach bitmiya, is everything forgotten? Halayadayin zuchurim b'fi abrios masav shel zeh. The deeds of the tzaddik and the rosh are both going to remember in the future. Ulefihen niskar zel l'shevach v'zel l'gnai. Okay, let's read a few more words. We'll put it together in a moment. V'yech yamos v'ratzo laimar v'yech efshar lihidomos misas hechacham and misas hakesil. How can you compare the death of the chacham with the death of the kesil, the fool? Hoyel v'zichron misas shel zehi siba el hashevach v'shel ze el hagnai. The cause of their death for the tzaddik is a cause to celebrate, is the cause to give praise, to remember his good deeds, and the death of the Rasha is a Siba, is a cause that he should be remembered l'gnai. Okay, so I have to review over here. The Pasuk here is doing a lot of things. Number one, it's telling us that at the end of the Pasuk Tezayin, the Eich Yomus is a question. It's a rhetorical question. The Eich, can it really be that it's all the same? Yomus and Chacham and Aksil? Of course not. It's a rhetorical question. Of course it's not going to be the same. When the Chacham dies, it's going to be It's going to be a cause for remembering him for good, and when the Ksil died, it's going to be a cause to remember him for bad. In the beginning of the Pasuk, he taught us that Ki ein zichron lechacham im aksil le'olam kasher hayamim haboim haboim cholfu. So we have to add in the word cholfu, that when be'asher kvar, when it will happen, that it will already have the yamim haboim, the future days have already passed. So kvar is in the past tense, and it's alluding to the passing of the days. Which days? The days of the yom haboim. Then hakol nishkoch, and according to the mitzudos, the kol
will have happened.
So, and hakol nishkach, now hakol nishkach according to the mitzudos means it's a question. V'chi hakol nishkach bitmiyo? Will everything really be forgotten? It's not so. Everything will be forgotten. The chacham and the ksil, their death is not going to be the same. Okay, so I'm sorry for being so stammering and stuttering because I didn't prepare very much, unfortunately, today for the Koheles. But what he seems to be saying here is the hakol nishkach is a question. Hakol nishkach. Is it really so that everything that these two people did in their lifetime was forgotten? Of course not. No one forgets what happened in the past. And the wicked people will be remembered l'ginai, and the tzaddikim will be remembered l'shavach, even though they both die the same way. And all of this will come about when? It will come about b'shekvor hayomim haboim, which is interpreted according to the mitzudos to mean when the yomim haboim kvor cholfu. We take the words and we read it backwards and we add another word into the pasuk. When the days that are coming, right now the chacham and the kesil are alive. They're living their lives. The chacham is doing good things. The kesil is doing bad things. But it's going to happen that the days of the future will pass and they will die. And when that happens, do we really think it's all going to be the same? Hakol nishkach? It's not going to be forgotten. We are going to remember what has happened. And at that point in time, we'll remember the tzaddik for good, and we'll remember the Rasha for bad. Okay, so this is the basic idea. Thank you. This is the basic idea of the Mitzudos David. Let's take a look at Rashi.
If the
Bible
is for Atzmo,
yeah,
then he really isn't giving anything to Olam.
Yeah.
The Chacham, in order to say that you get the concept in the wood, it's because he has come up with some kind of a knowledge of thought that now is throughout, you know, people have accepted or learned something from him. But didn't we learn about the person who is a Chacham to himself is no good?
Okay, so over here it's simply referring to a Chacham, which is just another word for a tzaddik. A Chacham, as we learned before, is a person that sees the consequences. He sees that he does not pay to sin. If a person sins, then he's going to suffer the consequences. So a Chacham is a Roye es hanoylad, and he steers clear from trouble. So I think in this context, according to the Mitzvot, basically it's just another, it's a placeholder for the word tzaddik. And the Kasil is a placeholder for the word Arasha. And over here, the Pasuk, according to the Mitzudas, is telling us that even though back in Pasuk Tezvav, we learned about this thing called the Mikre, Ki Mikre HaKasil Gam Ani Yikreini. What is the Mikre? It doesn't say in the Pasuk what the Mikre is. You can say it means many things. According to the Mitzudas, Mikre means death. That the Tzaddik and the Rasha suffer the same death. And therefore the question is, it does not seem to pay to be a tzaddik. What are you going to gain? What are you going to gain of being a tzaddik when anyway you're going to suffer, the person will suffer the same fate? So the answer to that question appears in Pasuk Tezayin, that there's no comparison. You cannot put in the same frame of mind, in the same state of zikaron, the tzaddik and the rasha, because when days will pass, b'shekvar hayamim haboim, which we've translated to mean that when the yamim haboim, when they will cholfu, b'asher kvar hayamim haboim cholfu, when the days of the future will have already passed, then hakol nishkoch, will everything that the tzaddik and the rosh did in their lifetime, will it be forgotten? Question mark. Of course not. The eich yachem, how can you think that the death of the chacham will be the same as the death of the ksil? The death of the chacham will lead to good things, and the death of the ksil will lead to bad things. So by connecting pasuk tezvav to pasuk tezayin, we're taking the word yomus in pasuk tezayin, and we're using that to clarify that the mikre of pasuk tezvav is the mikre of death. And again, the novel point here is Hakol Nishkoch is a question, rhetorical question, not a statement. Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Tezvav says, Tezayin says, B'kshavar b'shekavar hayamim haba'oim Hakol Nishkoch b'shvil asher ani roye es harishoyim asher hoyu kivar v'yitzlichu me'od. I look back in the past, and I see that the wicked people were extremely successful. Uviyamim haboim acharei. I'm sorry, did I skip? Ein, I don't have an Ein Zichron. Let me go take your edition. My edition doesn't have it. No, I don't have it. I don't have it. Give me a moment. Koheles Beis. Okay, pasuk tezayin ki ein zichron. Okay, let's see. Rashi pasuk tezayin ki ein zichron hachacham v'akasil shavim. There's no way you can say you can put in your memory the chacham and the kasil and see that they're equal. Acharei moisan lo yizku shneim yachad. After the death, they're not going to be remembered together. Shezez zichron l'toyv v'zez zichron l'ra. Okay, so that's the first thing. First, it's a statement. There is no zichron lechacham imakasil lo'olam. So lo'olam here means in the oilam in this world after their death. One more time, hechacham yakasil shavim. This cannot possibly say that the same. Acharei moisan. So the oilam means forever in this world that endures after their death. Lo yizku shem yachad. Shezeh zichron l'tov, zeh zichron l'ra. B'shekvar hayamim haboim al kol nishkoch. Now, what does that mean? So I see, obviously, it's going to say something very different than what the Mitzvah says. B'shvil ashani royes harasham ashechayu kvar. I have examined the wicked people in the past. V'yitzlichu. And I've taken note that they've been very successful. Me'oid. Uviyamim haboim achareihem nishkecha kol givurosam v'hatzlachasam. All of their success comes to an end. So this goes back to a theme that the Rashi said before, is that even though wicked people are successful, their success is only temporary, and the next generation, their children, are forced to return all of the ill gain to the ones who it was taken from. And that's how he wants to translate these words. B'shekvar hayamim haboim akol nishkoch. This is only referring to the Rishoyim. Again, this is very different than the Mitsudos, because the Mitsudos translated these words in reference to both the Tzadikim and the Rishoyim. When the Yamim Haboim Kvar Olf Acholfu, when they have passed, and now we're going to reflect back upon the life of the Tzaddik and the Rasha, we're going to remember the Tzaddik Litoiv and the Rasha Lera. That was how the Mitzudah Stavit translated these words. But Rashi is saying, no, these words are not going back on both the Tzaddikim and the Rishoyim. It's only referring to the Rishoyim, and it's telling us Hakol Nishkoch. And again, another very significant difference is Hakol Nishkoch is not a question mark like the Mitzudah says, but rather it's a statement that this, and we're only dealing with the Rishoyim were extremely successful in this world, and yet, don't worry, the time will come when they will pass from this world, and all of their success will be forgotten, not just forgotten from the mind, but there will be nothing lasting. Their wealth will be restored to their victims, to the people who have been robbed. It's all been taken away. Okay, so that's already two differences between the Mitzvah and Rashi. Hakol Nishkoch is a statement, not a question. And we're dealing over here only according with Rishom, not like the Mitzvah says with Rishom and Tzadikim. And then when the Pasuk concludes, V'eich Yamus Hechachomim HaKasil, how can it be that the Chacham who dies with the Kasil, Ani Roya HaTzadikim Matzlichim B'Misosam U'moyalim L'bneihem. The Tzadikim, when they die, they bring success for their children. K'goin V'Zacharti Esprisi Yaakov. Yaakov, Zachati lo chesed nurayich. So he's over here, he's going to something which is very interesting, is that in the next world, tzaddikim, their merit serves as a benefit for their children, their descendants. Right, so Chayda, it's very... He's leaving over the merits. The merits are credited to his children. The children are successful in the zuchus of us. So that's how the Eich Yamus Sechachom Maksil, how can you say that the Chacham and the Ksil are going to be the sin? There's a very fundamental difference. We just explained according to Rashi that the Risham, they leave over nothing to their children. And in fact, the wealth that they left to their children will ultimately be taken away. Hashem will cause it that it will be lost. But the Tzadikim, when they leave this world, not only has the assets they've given their children remain with the children because it was earnest, honestly, but more, the children will be successful because the parents have merits, and those merits are zechuyos for their children. Okay, so this is how Rashi learns the pasuk. Now let's take a look at the Targum. Targum, I believe, is a fascinating Targum who talks about Shoal. If I remember correctly, this part I did prepare, actually. Okay, so let's take a look at Parsuk Tezayin. Arum. Arum means ki. The Targum here really goes way off the charts over here in this pasuk. Okay, Arum, because less duchrona, there is no remembrance, lechakima im shotya le'olmod yaseh, in the next world. So he's, first of all, he's doing something over here that's very, very important. He's taking the word le'olam, not like Rashi, and not like the Mitzudos, and he's translating the word le'olam in olam haba. Okay, the word olam can mean many, many things. According to the opinion of Rashi and the Mitzudos, it would appear that le'olam means in this world, the world that continues to live on after the passing of the parents, the tzaddik or the rasha, who is called here the chacham and the ksil. Targum is disagreeing. Le'olam means le'olama de'asi. In the next world, you can't compare the chacham and the ksil. Ubasar dimus gavra. After a person dies, I have here. Okay, we have mis. I have here dimus. The bosa dimus. Okay, whatever the word you have here, the guvra. A person dies. Ma dahave kvar biyomohi. What already was in his lifetime. Now he have to add over here some elaboration. This that a person was successful in his lifetime through wickedness, kad yeson when he arrives. Yo mayo da asidun limhave bos ronohi, when the future days arrive, what happens? Kolo ishtakach. It's all forgotten. Now, it's not clear exactly what the Targum is referring to. And this particular sefer that I'm using to translate the Targum, called Sarasi Bamedinos, he adds in parentheses some elaboration, which is his personal opinion. And he's saying that we're dealing over here with a Rasha. From the context of the Pasuk, with the seal, we're dealing here, this is going to be similar to Rashi. Taking sides with Rashi, not like the Mitzudos, that these words are interpreted specifically in reference to the Rasha. The Rasha, his success that he accumulates in this world, after he dies, is completely forgotten. It's lost. The children will not inherit that wealth. Let's see the words again. Ubasar di, one more time, those words of the Targum. Ubasar di mus guvra, after a person dies, ma dahave kvar biyomohi, what he has accomplished in his days, in his lifetime in this world, meaning the success of his wicked deeds, kad yeson yomayo da asidon limhave bosrohi, when days arrive in this world after he passes in the future, kolo ishtakach, all of that success is forgotten, it's lost. Hashem brings about that money that has been accumulated, that has been earned illegally, that has been stolen, is returned to its original owners. The Eid Kanan, therefore, now he goes further in the Eid Kanan, Yemrun Bnei Enosha, how then can a people say, how then can a people say, how then can people say that a tzaddik and a rasha are exactly the same? Tzaddikim, when they die, their success continues to live on after their death. unlike what we've just mentioned one moment ago, that a Rasha, after he dies, his success does not endure to the next generation. So what foolish person can say that there's no difference, the mikra of death is the same for the tzaddik and the Rasha? Impossible. The mikra of death for the Rasha is a cause for everything to be undone, whereas the mikra of death for the tzaddik is just nothing. It's a continuation. His success continues to live on into the next world. So two things we take out of this Targum. Number one, he's translating the word La'olam, not like Rashi and the Mitzudas as Olam Haba. He's translating the word Hakol Nishkoch, the words B'shekavar Hayamim Haboim Hakol Nishkoch, like Rashi. We're dealing here specifically with the Rasha, that when the Rasha passes, when the Yomim Haboim pass, Cholfu, all of the success of the Rasha is Nishkach, and therefore the Chacham, his success lives on. How can a person say there's going to be any difference? How can you compare the Chacham with the Kasil? So basically, more or less, the Targum is consistent with the Parish of Rashi. Rashi is like the Targum. Targum, of course, came first, and Rashi is following the Mahalach of the Targum, and the Mitzudah is going off on the deep end, and he's saying a whole different interpretation. Hakol Nishkach is a question mark. Is a Hakol Nishkach, and the Pasuk B'Shekavar Hayam Haboim, that's a reference to both the Tzaddik and the Rasha, and the idea is the same, but the way you translate the words obviously are very different. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin says V'Soneis Yaneis HaChayim. Okay, this is a very depressing Pasuk. Shlomo Melech says, I hate life. Ki ra alai hamaseh, it is evil upon me hamaseh shnaseh tachas hashamesh, ki akol hevel. Everything in this world is futile, and everything is brings about a broken spirit. Let's first.
You don't forget the
Moshe. What?
You just said that the Chacham memory does stay.
Yeah, okay, fine, right, yeah, okay, so therefore...
He says,
oh, so that's the question. What exactly is he coming here? Why is he hitting? What is this? Okay, and that's all part of the problem. The futility of life. Let's see the Mitzudos, one thing at a time. Pasig Yud Zayin in the Mitzudos David. This Sonesi Esachayim, Ani Sone Umamai Sachayim Asher Oidenu Chai. I hate the fact that I'm still alive. V'roi Es HaMaseh HaNaseh B'zeh HaOilam B'mokalim Zrichas HaShamesh. And I see what goes on in this world. Ki Ra Olai HaMaseh V'lo Yoshua Be'inai. It's not right in my eyes what I see takes place in this world. Why? Ki Akol Hevel Kol HaMaseh Hu Hevel V'lo Nimsa Boi Shum Tzat Ve'elis. There is no benefit. V'od, not only is no benefit, it's worse than that. What goes on in this world causes a person to suffer, causes him to have a broken spirit. V'od yesh bo shever rotzon, ki b'shum maise lo nismale rotzon ho'oseo kifi machashavto. No person succeeds in fulfilling his desires. That's what it says. Mi sheyesh lo imone reitzeh mosayin. No person succeeds in fulfilling his machshava, and therefore this world is a world of futility. That obviously I saw in Farsh missed the question. How can you possibly say that? How can you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in this world in order to do mitzvahs? So here it means when people pursue materialistic accomplishments without any yirah shemayim, without any goal of channeling that avodah, that accomplishment for the service of Hashem. Of course, the person works and he accomplishes and he succeeds and he uses his success to serve Hashem. That is not what he is referring to here. That is the toelis of this world. He's referring here to the majority of the world.
He's saying
that I hate what I see about mankind. I witness that most of the humanity.
Yeah, Ben Ezra is making the differentiation between the two chayim, what it means. My life or life in general.
Life in general. I see humanity.
He's
saying
it's the shame. In this case, it's shame Torah.
I see people who live out in the world. I know someone who works in China a good part of the year. So he manufactures clothing. He comes back. So I remember he once spoke at Shalosh Shuras. He told us what goes on. So people were asking him what kind of religion. So he basically said the people that he works with have not only do they have no religion. They have no religion. It's so foreign to them. The idea of God. They don't like we Baruch Hashem. We live a life. Everything's Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Even if it's lip service, but still. It makes an impact upon us. He says the people in China that he deals with, they don't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like zero. There's no
right.
connection.
They're on their own.
And then he says they're robots. The people that he deals with, I don't know if this, he can't say for everyone, but he says that he deals, they're just total robots. They work their whole life.
Yeah, but yet Chinese had philosophers, which means they did think.
So he's not saying these are obviously, you can't say this about every single person, but he was talking about the people that he dealt with, and he said it's frightening. And he was really at Shalash Shudis. He was basically quoting this pasuk. He's saying, what are they working for? What goals do they have? Like, you're working your whole life, you're earning money, you're accomplishing for what? For what purpose? Where are you going? It's one thing if you think about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you make a bracha, you sanctify. What you're doing is all for the purpose, but this is exactly what the Nesudas Tavan appears to be saying. Let's take a Rashi. Pasuk Yud Zayin.
The comment, Taoism and Confucius, they're not God-oriented. They're like sort of Perkei Avot without Hashem.
Right. They don't think about God.
Right.
They don't think about God. It's just about life. It's just about life, to live, to make money, to live, to get to the next day, to enjoy the pleasures of life for no purpose than enjoying life. So this is what Shlomo Melech is saying. What are you accomplishing? If you're not working towards a goal of serving Hashem and using your daily activities as a means to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sing the Yad Hashem, if it doesn't doesn't take you higher, then what's it all about? It's painful.
Why is only the negative stated, not the positive?
The positive, you come. Well, that's what Kohel is all about.
It should be right there.
Okay, that's what Kohel is all about.
His negative statements.
Okay, I don't know. I think we have to go forward. There's going to be a lot more coming up. We'll see more. We'll see more. Let's see Rashi. Rashi about to give them the sneisi sachayim shohayim misnabi al doro shol rechavam shayurisham. So Rashi over here is really coming over here to more midrashic interpretation, and Rashi is telling us about his son, Rechavam. Rechavam is going to inherit his malchus, and it's going to be taken away from him. We'll see the Targum elaborates upon this in great length. And Yeravam ben Nevat is going to take away from him the 10 Shevatim. So he hates his life because he sees what's coming in the future. Here, Shlomo HaMelech is spending 52 years of his life building the Beis HaMikdash, acquiring wealth, building up Klal Yisrael. All for what purpose? To leave it over to his son, Rechavam, who's going to make some horrible decisions, which are going to cost him the malchus, the splitting of the malchus. That's what it's senesia sachayim. I hate my own life, not like the mitzvahs. Yeah.
He said the opposite. He said that tzaddik has sons that
right. Yeah, but he really wasn't.
Einochinami. You're touching upon a very big issue that Shlomo HaMelech has sinned. So this I saw this yesterday. I saw this very big difference between Shlomo Melech and David. David, the whole Tehillim, all over Tehillim, we find David is always saying Chotasi, Chotasi, Chotasi in Shmuel, and in Tehillim he's praying, he's fasting, he's mentioning all of his tzaris. Shlomo HaMelech nowhere confesses for his sins. I don't think it says anywhere. He does. It's all about he built the Beis HaMikdash. He was successful. What?
He's aware that he made some bad decisions.
But it doesn't say anywhere. It doesn't say right. There's no emphasis upon charata, recognition right. That I am suffering. My problems are because of my chatoyim. According to the he lost Lomba Ashmai, and that is indeed very problematic. Why the difference between David and Shlomo? David, like you said, is always confessing. I realize the reason why I have all of these troubles. I have Avshalom, I have Amnon, I have Muhammad, I have all these problems. It's because of my sins. Shlomo also were very great sins. He took too many wives. He did have all these things that the pasuk says about him. You don't find him saying, "I did a chotasi." No one's too big to say they sinned. No, you can't say that about Shlomo. It was a different approach to life. And there are illusions. Okay, some want to say in the next pasuk, in the pasuk Yud Ches, Shamba had pasuk Yud Ches, V'sonei seni es kol amoli, Shani omol tachas ha-shamash, Shani chenu lo'odam sheyi acharoi, it's going back to Rechavam, and there some want to suggest that the word amoli is a hint to Shlomo acknowledging that I have sinned, because the word amoli are the same words as mo'ali, mo'al. Mal means transgression. So here he's hinting that I hate myself for my mistakes.
Right.
So I don't know if it's mamash a medrash, but it's at least an allusion. He chose the word amaliyah, has the same letters as mo'ali, my mistakes in life. My mistakes in life have cost me my malchus. My children, Rechavam, he will inherit my malchus, and everything will be lost. Rashi alludes to that over here when it says yeah. I don't know. You have to look in the Midrash. Shlomo's being misnabi. What's going to happen to him? Did David see that the base Hamilus will be destroyed? All of these things. I don't know. You have to look in the Midrash.
Well, he doesn't get to see what he wants to see. He gets to see what God lets him see. The
Midrashim on Tehillim are enormous. So I would imagine there you would see in the Midrashim things that David obviously saw until the time of Mashiach what's going to be. And that's probably Lashul. Now let's see, the Targum elaborates upon this, that Rashi is really drawing this, Rashi is drawing his interpretation from the Targum. It's a long Targum. Let's see.
This is interesting because on Daf Yomi we came yesterday to the place where it says that the sons of the Tzaddikim didn't say the brachas over the Torah, and there's one of the people says that's because they love wisdom for its own sake and not to go closer.
They did not.
It almost could be Shlomo's problem, right? He was the son of a great Tzaddik, and he loved wisdom
for its own sake, but did not channel the wisdom into a spiritual quest. Okay, I don't know. He's talking. He's saying that he's taking Torah. He's using Torah as purely a book of knowledge. All right, let's see. Pasuk Yizayin. Pasuk Yizayin says, "Usenesi anoyos kol chayin bishin." I hate the evil life. I hate the chayin bishin. Why? What do I hate about life? Arum bish alai uvada bishad isaveid al bnei enosha techay shemsha ba'al mahadein. I hate. It is evil to me. It is evil to me. The evil deeds. The uvada bishad. The evil deeds. The isaveid that are done al bnei enosha. The evil deeds that are done in this world, in the place of Techos Shemsha Ba'ol Mahadein in this world, Arum Kulo Havlu Usvirus Ruchein. He's just giving a simple translation. The Targum that is coming is going to be, that's going to be the next, the Pasuk Yud Ches. Rashi in Pasuk Yud Zayin alludes to what the Targum says in Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, so we'll see, let's right away jump to Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches. That I leave it over, Lo Adam Sheyiyah, that will come after me, Shia Acharoi. Let's look at the Mitzudos David. Yeah?
Can we explain the word Visha? The word I am Shay Busha?
Busha? Visha means evil.
Let's try to translate the Targum with Visha.
I'm embarrassed.
Yes.
Usinesi ano, I hate. Yos kol chayin bishin. My shameful life. Or kol chayin bishin, all life that is shameful. That's really what it means. Evil is bish. Bish is ra. Ra, anything that's ra indeed is shameful. Arum bish olayit is shameful to me. Uvada bishad isavek al b'nei enosha techayim shimsha. Evil deeds that are done upon mankind. It sounds like the harm that one man does against another. I think that's what it says in the Targum. Uvada bisha, evil deeds, the isaveid that are done al bnei enosha, evil, the evil that man does to his fellow man, shameful man that man does to another man upon mankind. Okay, everything is hevel and a broken spirit. Okay, let's take a look at pasuk Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Ches in the Mitzudos David. V'sonesi, ani sonei, I hate. Umimoes is called amol shani amol that I toil le'asoif kinyanim leman Anichem Lareshes Isam Laodam Sheyi Acharoi, so that someone else comes along and inherits, I bequeath it to another person. It's painful for me that I should work my whole life and not enjoy my toil. All of my wealth that I accumulate, I'm going to bequeath to the next generation. To acquire, less of kinyonim, acquisitions. Leman, so that anichem, I bequeath it, lareshes, laodam, I leave it over as inheritance to a person that will come after me. Okay, here is where the...
Why does he hate that? Unless he knows he's a Russian.
The Gemara says it means you worked, and the Gemara talks about if a person leaves this world and he has anything left over in this world, we don't look at it like that in this gen, this world, it means you wasted your time. You wasted your time. Let your children, let them work for themselves. You spent time that you could have spent either enjoying yourself, you could have spent doing other things. You accumulated wealth, and what happened to that wealth? You did not enjoy it. You left it over to the next generation. Today people tell you it's just the opposite. The biggest pleasure you... The Gemara says that you should not leave. The Gemara says you should not leave over a penny. And if you leave over a penny, it's a curse. It's a curse. It's a curse to leave over anything to the next generation, because that means you've wasted your time in this world. What?
Land.
Of course, because that's a way of the world.
To this, you should give it all up and sell it.
No. That the mitzvah is the person leaves over. But the Gemara is saying that if every person is subject to this today, it's ideal. Today, if a person does not leave over, if you don't leave over a significant amount of money to your children, so you are a bad parent. You didn't provide. You were not a good provider.
Who said it, but they said you should leave somebody, some rich person said, leaving his children enough money to do what they want, not to do nothing.
Oh. Okay, so today that's the attitude we live in this world, that if you're not going to leave over a significant amount of money for your children, you're not a good provider. You're not a good provider. Now, I also grew up with this idea that you know, you shouldn't be spoiled. You give a child nothing, zero. Let him earn his keep. And then someone says to me, then I was talking to a person, he says to me about his children, he was complaining that his children are coming for Yom Tov, and this one wants this, this one wants this. And then he said to me very seriously, I was shocked, and it really shook me up. He says to me, well, you know, I brought them into this world. I brought him here. I didn't have to have children. I brought him into this world. Therefore, it's my duty to make them happy. It's my responsibility, my duty that I should provide for them. And if I can, if Hashem gave me, He gave me the money, He gave me the ability, so that's what I have to do. I'm going to spoil them, this, that. It's not my business. It's not my business. I brought them into this world. It's my duty. I should take care of that.
So
it's very interesting. It's a very different way. What?
So it doesn't help
the grandchildren. No, it doesn't. The children, grandchildren, that's the children's problem. So obviously there has to be a balance. Obviously there's a balance. You don't want to spoil someone, obviously. But the truth is, you know, you have to be responsible. You can't go get married and have children if you're not going to be able to provide for them.
They have all the machlokes to come back.
Yerusha, okay. But the Gemara does talk about that. Me'ikar hadin, the truth. Again, we live in a society today where this is the derech olam. This is what a person has to do. You have to provide. You have to work, and the children should be able to stand on their own, and they should have enough to get by and figure out a mahalak for themselves. Absolutely. But the Gemara says that me'ikar hadin. It's if a person works, you spend time, you spend years accumulating wealth, and you do not enjoy that wealth, and you don't need that wealth, you've wasted your time. You should have spent your time doing things which will earn you merit in the next world. Now, what is that? I don't know. And not everyone is cut out to sit and learn the whole day. You know, not everyone is cut out to sit and call all day. But a person, maybe they should involve themselves in doing chassadim, doing, you know, you see people, I know people, they go, they spend a good part of the year, they go to Eretz Yisrael, they volunteer. These are older people, these people like in their 70s. I know Peter, he goes half the year, he's in Eretz Yisrael, he volunteers all over Eretz Yisrael. He goes to the kibbutz, and he goes to the army, and he does this, and he does that. He's always busy, he's not a person that's a shaykh to learning, but he's busy the whole year. Mamash doing chesed. That's what he does. He's set for life. He already, you know, and he's not a rich person. That's so. The Gemara is saying that everyone should be like that. Everyone should be like that. What are you going and you're spending your time? Who are you accumulating the money for? For yourself? For your children? What is that going to do for you in the next world? Do for yourself something. If you have enough money for the rest of your life, spend your time doing something which will earn you merit in the next world, whatever it will be. Okay, and that's exactly what it says in the special coin to Psimel instead of coin to the Sudastav. That's what he says. The Sonesi Eshachai. Sonesi Eskolamoli. I hate all of my toil. Shani Omel. What do I get out of it? Nothing. Tachas Hashemesh Shani Chenu. I get no gain from all of this effort. Shani Chenu. I'm going to abandon it. Adam Shiyi Acharoi. Rashi says, Pasik, there is no Rashi. We did write the Rashi in the Pasik Yitzayin. I think we already did that Rashi because that really goes back to Pasik.
What's one of them makes sense of the idea what he's saying about a chacham is that chacham ain't of the roshim.
Yeah.
That's what it's all based on, the chacham that we're talking about. And he says in that pasuk, he says, I need the gama of the yodati, gamon shemikra, I thought you prayer school. You could be very smart. You make one bad decision.
I'd see you everything. Okay. Let's take a look at the Targum. This pasuk Yitches, his weird Rashi in the previous pasuk drew his interpretation. I hate all of my effort that I have exerted myself to work under the sun in this world. Begin the ish, the esh, the kinei lir chav omberi. I'm going to leave over all of my wealth to my son Rechavam, the Osei Bosrai that will come after me. The Yesei, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to my son Rechavam? The Yesei Yerovam Avdei, his servant. It is a very interesting expression, because how do we know that Yerovam ben Nevat was his servant? Who says he wasn't? He wasn't Evet Kenani. He was just an administrator. He was someone who worked for him. Visav min yodoy, and they will take it away from his hand. What will take away? Asarte shift hayah, 10 of the shvatim, the majority of Klal Yisrael. V'yachsein palgus malchusa, and he will inherit the servant of my son Rechavam. Yeravam will inherit chatzi hamalchus, half. Now he calls over here. Palgus.
A portion.
Okay, so in Palgus, he wants to say a portion, it's a significant portion. He calls it Chatzia over here. Okay, so this is indeed where the Targum drew from. Now the question is why. What?
I think just because Chavam may become king, he doesn't have to leave him everything. Well, his other children, no?
Well, the Malchus, that's how it goes. One son becomes the Melech. You don't have a... The Torah only allows it to be Ein Shnei Melechim Meshamshim B'Keser Echad. Two Melechim cannot serve with one Keser. So you want to go say... You know, there's always a story about a Rebbe. Today, Chassidim, the Chassidus, when over the years it grows... And there's always a fight when the Rebbe dies, so who's going to take over? So what's the big deal to us? It looks like, what's the big deal? Let them split it. The Rebbe lived over five, so we'll give Barapak to one son. We'll give Flatbush to another son. We'll give Muncie to one son. Right? We'll give another. So what's the big deal? So there was once a maisa where someone saw Lubavitcher once told this to me. He said, I was telling him, what's the deal? So he said to me, there was once a maisa with the Rebbe, and the Rebbe died, and there was a fight, of course, and whatever it was. So one of the Hasidim said to the Rebbe, what's the big deal? We'll divide it up. So the Rebbe said to the Chassid, what do you do for a living? So he says, I'm a butcher. I sell meat. Okay, well, you know, there are some other people that also want into the business. So, you know, we'll take your business, we'll give you this neighborhood, and we'll give your competitor in this neighborhood, another competitor in another neighborhood. We'll divide up the business. How would you like that? So he says, it's not going to work. Because, you know, it's all interconnected. You can't, if I don't have the business in this neighborhood, then the business in that neighborhood, it goes through the whole example. It just doesn't work. So the same way it doesn't work like that in business, it doesn't work like that in the Malchus, in Chassidus. If you don't have one central authority, it doesn't work out. Whatever it means, but this is what it says here in the Targum. Let's go now. Go to the next pasuk. Pasuk, what? No, I don't know. Listen, I don't know. Okay, let's go to pasuk Yutes. It's 2 minutes. Pasuk Yutes. Mi yodea? Who would know? Mi yodea? Here, the father says, "I'm going to work my yishlomus. I'm going to work my entire life. I'm going to leave over all of my toil to my child." Mi yodea? Who's to know? Hechacham yigiyeh oisachol. If my child will be a wise man or will be a fool, the yishlat, and he will rule. Bechol amoli shamalti, which I have toiled, v'shechochamti tachas hashamesh, and this gam zehovel, this idea, this fact that I do not know what's going to be, and I have to leave it all over to the next generation, is hovel, is futile. Let's see the mitzudos pasuk yotes. Mitzudos tavru miyodea keoimer. This means to say im chochamiyeh ein lehitztaer al zeh. He's coming to qualify his previous words. If my son will be a wise man, you know what? It's not so bad. It's then kedai to work your entire life to leave over all of your wealth to the next generation, because the next generation will take all of your success and build upon it. It's not. He's qualifying the pasuk. Yes, the previous two pasukim. He's qualifying the previous two pasukim. That in the chanam, according to the parasha of the mitzudos. If indeed I will have a son that will be a chacham, then you're right. It's not so bad. Then, because he will build upon my success, so everything I have accomplished will be preserved. Aval, however, the reason why it's not worthy of toiling your entire life, because you really don't know what the future will bring. Aval mi yodea mai yihyeh im chacham oy sochol v'eich sheyiyeh, what will be yishloit v'eich sheyiyeh yishloit shekol hakinyonim shasafti ba'amoli. See, all of the acquisitions that I have acquired through my toil and through my wisdom, through the efforts and through the tachbulos, through the techniques that I have become, that I have acquired through my knowledge, oidi bezeh olam, will remain in this world. Who says it will remain in this world? Maybe my child will be a foolish child and will squander the wealth. Gam zehovel. So here he goes on. Now this is the important part of the pasuk, which we're going to have a difference of opinion between the Rashi and the Targum. Gam zehovel. What is these last words of the pasuk going on? It's going on asifas hakinyanim. Going back to pasuk Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, acquiring wealth. Lehaniach lereshes lahabo acharav huhovel. Because the suffix, the doubt is so great, it's just not worth the risk. That's a very novel interpretation of the mitzudos. You would say it's kedai to spend your whole life working because it's 50-50. Right? Why not? 50-50. Now that the mitzudos has taught us that if a person will definitely leave over a child who is wise, it will be worthy of accumulating wealth, toiling, and then leaving this world and giving everything over to the next generation. Because everything that you've done will be used for the future. But being that there is no guarantee, there's no guarantee that the next generation will be wise, even though it may seem that the child is wise, he may make some foolish mistakes, which are not, you can never see coming. So it's not kedai to take the risk. That is how the mitzudos appears to interpret the pasuk.
We're not basically saying, limiting what you just said, also having the same thought process.
The risk is too great.
You don't know. You have no guarantee that your son is going to follow in your footsteps.
You have no guarantee, even if he does follow Racham. Racham was a wise.
You can give him the derech everything,
but he can make mistakes.
Say what he's going to do.
You don't know what's going to happen, so it's not worth the risk. That's according to the mitzvahs. Pasuk in the Rashi, Gam Zehavol, Gam Ze, Echad Min HaHavolim, Shenivru BaOlam, SheHachacham Yogea. So according to the Mitzud Rashi, he's not learning like the Mitzudos. He's saying, he's not talking about the risk, the calculator risk. He's saying Havel is only in reference to a situation where this foolish person inherits the wealth of the tzaddik. But maybe it is worth the risk. Rashi is not addressing the risk of working to leave over to the next generation. Only when it says Gam Zehovel, it's only going on the second half of the Pasuk according to the Mitzudos, according to Rashi. One more time, the Pasuk Yutes. Umiyodea, Hechacham Yiyah, Oy Sochol, will my child be wise or will be a fool? The Yishlat B'chol Amali, Shamat V'Shechan Techas HaShamesh, Gam Zehovel only, it's only going to be Hovel if the next generation is Sochol and he squanders all the wealth. But if the next generation is Ochochom, then it was worth the risk.
So you have a spec.
You don't know what to do.
No, it's a spec. Right? Well, I have a Chacham as a son.
Yeah.
And if I do, and I also have a Shil son, who will inherit?
Well, what do you mean? I don't understand.
Are you not about which type of
okay, whatever it is. But just the point I want to make is that according to the Mitzvah, there appears to be a very big difference in translation of these words. The Mitzvah is telling us Gam Zehovel is the calculated risk. It's just not worth the risk. According to Rashi, maybe it is worth the risk. It's just don't lose. If you lose, then it's Hovel. If you don't lose, then you are okay. Okay, the Targum totally goes off the deep end on a whole different interpretation of this Pasuk. Pasuk Yutes in the Targum, he says here, okay, Umi, Uman, but I'm missing over here a Targum. What happened to the Targum that I was referring to? I'm forgetting something over here that I prepared. No. Okay, I skipped the Targum. That's why I'm all confused. I want to go back for it. Let's read this. Let's read this, then we're going to go back. Let's first read the Targum with Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk Yutes and Targum says, Uman Yida HaChakim Yeho. Who knows what the future brings? Will my child be wise, O Tipesh? Malko, the king, the Asid Lim Heve Bosrai, the king that will come after me. The Yishlat will rule Bechol Tarchusei, all of the effort, Dit Rachis Be'ol Mohadein, which I have toiled in this world, Ubechol Ma the Askenis, and everything that I have acquired, Bechoch Misi, with my wisdom, Techosh Shimsha, under the sun, Be'ol Mohadein, in this world. The sahis bilibi. Now here's the end of the pasuk. Gam Zehovel. I decided in my heart. The sabis l'neimar, and I. The sahis bilibi. The sabis l'neimar afdein havlu. I thought about this, and I concluded that this is also Havel. Now, he doesn't say what it is. That's the problem with Targum. The Targum over here is not telling us like Rashi or like the Mitzudos. He's not telling us is the risk Havel, or is the fact that if I'll have a son that will be a fool and will lose everything, that is Havel. All he says is, I thought about this whole thing and this also is Havel. Okay, I'm not sure what it really means over here. Let's just go back for a few moments now. I left out a very important Targum. Pasuk Tes.
When did Shlomo get all this stuff?
Well, the whole Sefer is being written at the very end of his life. Everything he's saying here.
He lost everything. He was wandering for 3 years, and now all of a sudden it's the tail end of his life, and now he's accumulating everything again.
He's saying how his life turned out.
He's looking back. He's looking back at his life. Okay, let's just jump back for a few moments to Pasuk Tes Vav. Okay, I left out a very important targum. Pasuk Tes Vav. V'amarti ani bilibi ki migre hakesil gam ani yikreni. Like the mikre, the event that happens to the kesil gam ani yikreni will happen to me. V'loma chachamti ani oz yoser. Why did I exert myself to become wise? V'dibarti bilibi shagam zehovel. Okay, so Tezvav. Let's go back to Pasuk Tezvav. I think by mistake I completely skipped Pasuk Tezvav. We started with Pasuk Tezayin, that was a mistake. We should have started Pasuk Tezvav. So let's go back to Pasuk Tezvav. Let's do the Mitzudos David and the Rashi and the Targum. And we'll conclude Pasuk Tezvav Yamatani Bilibi, Ratzalemer, Af Ki Her Harti Bilibi, even though I thought in my heart, Hoyel Uvadovar Mikre Han Pasuk Tezvav in the Mitzudos David. Tesvav in the Mitzudos David, Reitzel Leimar, Afki Hir Harti Belibi, even though I thought in my heart, Hoyel Udvar Hamikra Hamise Yikre Gam Osi, Imki Choch Masi, even though I become wise, Kumo Mikra Hakasil, will be my death will be just like the fool. In Cain, Alma Chochamti Ani Oz Koidem Zman Hamisa Yosem Hakasil. What does that mean exactly? He explains Ma To Elas Boli Ato Achare Hamisa B'Mashe Chochamti Oz. What I have accomplished. Since ultimately I'm going to die, I'm going to be just like the fool, I'm going to die, so what then is the benefit of all of the wisdom that I've accumulated in my lifetime? Vidibarti, after I made this statement, I realized what I'm saying is foolish. Vidibarti, Aval bot oshiv amorim, a lie, I said back to myself, Shagam ze hahiru who hoveled such a thought is nonsense. And then we went into Pasuk Tes Zayin, where he explained why it's nonsense, because at least according to the Mitzvot, when the Chacham dies, that is a siba, that is a cause of good. People will remember him for good. He's not really addressing what happens to him in Olam Haba, but even in this world, he's going to be remembered for good, and the Ksil will be remembered for Ra. But in the beginning, before I reached that conclusion, I thought to myself, why should I toil and work my whole life to acquire wisdom when I will die the same fate as the fool? Rashi, Pasuk Tezvav, V'amarat Ani Belibi, Kiloimar, Lefi Sheshnei Mesim, since both the Chacham and the Ksil die the same, Shema Ahara Belibi, I may come to think in my heart, Me'ato, now, what will happen to the Rosh will happen to me. Why should I be a tzaddik more than before? Now take note that Rashi makes it very clear that the word chacham is synonymous with the word tzaddik, and the ksil is synonymous with the word Rosh. That's not so obvious. Because if you would just learn the pasuk on a very similar level, you would say means a wise person. And we're not dealing with people doing mitzvahs and doing averos. According to Rashi, ksil is a rasha, and a chacham is a tzaddik. V'dibarti, believe the next words of Rashi, she'im aharar kein, hevel he. If I want to make such a thought, such a thing, that a tzaddik and the rasha, they die the same, that's nonsense. Ki ein zichon, so here Rashi is leading into the next pasuk. So that's when we read this Rashi before, with Rashi and the Dibra Maskel on the next pasuk. Ki ein Rashi, Rashi goes Vidibarti, and I said that this is Havel. I think I have a different gear than your Rashi. Let me go look in your Rashi. Pasuk Tes Avav. Vidibarti Belibi She'im Ahara Kein Hevel Hu. Thou makes have I have such a thought. This would be total nonsense. Okay, let's look at the Targum Pasuk Tes.
Rashi is flipping.
What?
Turning it on its head. This statement.
Rashi, what do you mean?
He's saying opposite of what Pshat is.
What do you mean? Pasuk the Amartin Belibi, Kimikri Aksila Gamani Ukraini.
Yeah, right.
Right, so no, he's saying it's leading in. Gam Zehovel is where he flips. No, but when Rashi says Gam Zehovel, that's where the Pasuk rejects this. I originally said the Amartin Belibi, Kimikri Aksila Gamani Ukraini. Death is the great equalizer. Death comes to the seal and it comes to Yikreni, to me. I'm the Chacham. I am the Tzaddik. Shlomo Melech, according to Rashi, is calling himself a Tzaddik. And the seal is the Rasha. So therefore, why is it worthy for me to be a Tzaddik if I'm going to die the same fate as the Rasha? What benefit does the person have being a Tzaddik in this world? And then Pasuk, then he concludes, V'dibarti, I said to myself, Shagam Zehovel, such a thought to say that it does not pay to be a Tzaddik is hovel, is nonsense, is futile, because Pasuk Tezayin, which we did, goes on to explain why indeed it is better to be a Tzaddik and not to be a fool. Okay, we're out of time. We'll listen to the Targum of Pasuk Tezvav. Fascinating Targum. Pasuk Tezvav. You have to remember, kings, you know, when you talk, you're talking to your own audience. I'll give you this example before we read the Targum. I once heard this from Lahavdi, we're learning holy things, not to bring in Meshugayim here into the Shir, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, he once said this, and it really shook me up. I never looked at the media the same way when I heard him. This is one of his Yisoides. And I never look at the media the same way. And it's true. You look at this Targum, it just triggers that thought, because who are you talking to? Rush Limbaugh's Yisoides. Let's say, Lu Yitzu, you have 50 in the world, let's say you have 10, 50 broadcasters, anchormen. I don't even know who the big players are now. They talk. Everyone is, and they're talking to millions of people. I'd say, who's on channel 2? whoever is, I don't even, I'm not into, there's an Anchorman on channel 2, Anchorman on channel 4, Anchorman on channel 7, Anchorman on channel 11. Okay, they're all talking. Who are they talking to? Well, look at the ratings. This one is talking to 10 million people. This one is talking to 2 million people. This one is talking to 3 million people. Right? You have all the cable networks. Who are they talking to? Someone like me, who are they talking to? They're talking to millions of people. Let's go take out the ratings and let's see the numbers. Whoever has the most people is the most popular. That network is able to charge the most money for marketing. So along comes Rush Limbaugh, and he says the following yesod. You're a big fool to think that they're talking to a million people. They're talking to each other. So let's say there are 10, 20, 30, 50 major broadcasters. They're competing with each other. When the anchorman on Channel 2 decides what's going to be the top story, you have 10 different events are happening in the news today. He's going to select one of these 10 things to focus on that this is going to be today's news headlines. And he's going to give a drasha. He's going to give his insight. You think he's talking to 10 million people? He's competing with talking to the other 50 people who he competes with. He's just using 10 million people as a way to compete, to give a shtech, to give an elbow shove to the other. You think this is the most important thing in the news? You think this one is guilty? I think just the opposite. They're talking to each other. I don't listen to him anymore, but I used to listen to him. He always used to bring out this point. They're talking to each other, and they're just using America, they're just using the masses as a way, as a means of fighting with each other. Kerem Chol, you appreciate this idea, right?
I've heard him say that. Yeah.
You've heard him say that. And there's truth to it. There's definitely a lot. It's a very deep idea.
They're saying the anchors are rolling, the ratings are down across the board.
Across the board,
social media.
It's a different idea. Fine, it's a very interesting idea. People that are in a very high position of power. So you think the average person thinks if you're a president of a country and there are 300 million people in the country, so who are you talking to? You're talking to 300 million people. They don't care about the 300 million people. They're talking to their competitors. They're a country of 300 million people. Well, there's another country out there that has 200 million people. And there's another country that has 3 billion people. And there's a country that has a billion people. So you think they're talking to the people? No, they're talking to each other. They're talking to their competitors. And they're just using the audience as a way to talk to their competitors. There's a lot of depth to that idea. So the Targum over here says, "Amartani believi kinikri hakasil gamani yigreni." So you know, you think Shlomo Melech is talking. He's talking to Klal Yisrael. There are people in Klal Yisrael. There are foolish people. There are people in Klal Yisrael that are wise people. When Shlomo Melech is talking about himself, he's talking about his competitors. Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdalos. Who are his competitors? Shol.
Right. Well, that's the
Shlomo Melech. That's what I'm trying to bring out. Targum says, because obviously there was a very big sichsuch in Klal Yisrael between Shaul, the Malchus of Shaul and his descendants, who always felt that it was not fair that Shaul should lose the Malchus, and the Malchus should go to David. Now, even though the Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda Mechoik Mibein Raglov, so the Chazal deal with that, it was not necessarily meant to be that there should be, like you said before, there'll be two different lines of Malchus. There'll be a minor line of Malchus from Shaul, which will not be the major Malchus, and there'll be David. David, Melech Yisrael will be in the lead, but there'll be other levels. Shaul lost it all. The whole thing was taken away entirely and given to David and Melech. So here, when he's talking, and he's thinking about the Ksil and the Yigreni, let's not focus on the Hamoinam. Let me focus on my competitors. You put yourself in the frame of mind of because of his sins. What would have happened if Shaul would not have sinned? What would have happened had Shaul not sinned? Does that mean that there would be no, that Shaul would still come to an end?
Well,
the Malchus Hashem will still come to an end? Well, some will tell you, yeah, because the Pasuk says, Lo Yosef Shevet Mi Yehudu Mi Choyg Mi Bein Raglav. Other commentators say no. If Shaul would not have sinned, Shaul's Malchus would have continued in some form, not that we're familiar with, but would not necessarily be a conflict to David that would come forward as being you know, this Mashiach ben Yosef, this Mashiach ben David. There are different lines of Malchus. Okay, so let's read the Targum. So look at that. V'amoris, I no believe you. I said in my heart, ki ir on Shaul bar Kish Malka, like what happened, the occurrence of what happened to Shaul bar Kish, the king, distobisat you say that acted foolishly. Shaul did made a foolish mistake. He made a few foolish mistakes. Number one, he did not kill Agag. Shmuel said to him, I want you to kill all of the Amalekim, including Agag, including the Noshim, the women and the children and the animals. You have not listened to my command. Number two, he did not wait when the very beginning of his Malchus, he was told, do not offer the sacrifice until I arrive. And the people put upon him enormous pressure. It's time to get the show on the road. And he gave in to the pressure. That was a very bad mistake, also contributed to the loss of his Malchus. He acted foolishly. V'lo nitar tafkedno. He did not guard the purpose, the ispakad al Amalek, that he was commanded with regard to Amalek to wipe out the women, the children, the animals, Agag. And because of his mistake, the isnitelas mine Malchus, so the Malchus was taken away from him. So Shlomo says, I who am the Chochmi Kol Adam, what did it gain from me all of my Chochma? I didn't make mistakes like he made, and yet I also lost the Malchus. Rechavam came along and took away 10 of the Shvatim. Afano ye or inani. It happened to me something very similar. And my chatoim don't come anywhere near his chatoim. I took too many wives. I took, but my sins don't compare to the terrible sin of Shaul, where he went and he did not kill Amalek, something which is much more fundamental. His father, maybe God Hanavi, God Hachoyze, and there was Nosan Hanavi, and there was God. He was also, yeah. He lived in a generation of prophets. Yeah, definitely. There were many prophets that lived in the Achia Hashiloni. What? It could be. There's more things that we don't know about. It could be that they warned him, or he should have known better to at least ask them. He should have at least consulted with them. Okay, there are more things that we have to study. I don't know all the details, but there were many Nevi'im that lived in his generation that he should have consulted with before he did these things. Yeah, let's finish up. Why was I wiser than him? Umalelis, I no believe I concluded the afdain havlu, this also hevel, the less Elohim Gezeres Memer the Hashem. I said that this is hevel. The aim low, and if I only my obligation is to fulfill the Gezeras Mama Hashem, I have to fulfill Hashem's mitzvahs. Okay, so the basic point over here is that Shlomo HaMelech here is saying, he's comparing himself to his competitors. Forget about saying, look, I'm the wisest man. So what do I have here to offer you, humanity, society? What do I have to offer? What do I have here to offer people? The answer is, I have nothing here. He's giving advice to the Hamoina. That is the simple interpretation according to the parish of Rashi and the Mitzudas. But according to the Targum, the Pesukim is telling us that he's comparing himself to his competitors. He's talking to Shaul HaMelech. I was a Chacham. I did not make any major mistakes, and look what happened to me. I lost my Malchus. Shaul, he was the Kseel. He was the fool. He acted foolishly. In fact, those were exactly the words that Shmuel said to Shaul. You have acted foolishly, and look what happened to him. He lost the Malchus. What's the difference between us? And the answer he concludes is, doesn't matter. Even you still have to fulfill the command of Hashem, and you have to be a tzaddik, even if the end is going to be the same. You're both going to lose the Malchus. Okay, we'll stop over here.